The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a big Monday edition. I got my little buddy here with me in Madtown. I got you on the phones, 844-967-2789. And Dom, in deference to the fact you drove all the way to Madison.
I was just passing through, man. So I'd like to say I came here specifically for this, but I was running late. Was never going to get to Milwaukee before the show. But you're welcome.
I was going to give you an opportunity to decide what the vaunted lead might be today on the big show.
Ooh, Crudy, did you not do any prep work today?
Here's what I would talk about. I would talk about the fundraiser that was hosted on behalf of Joe Biden over the course of the weekend.
I've heard the righties
talking about it quite a bit.
The left coast, right? Wasn't he in... Where was it? Was it in California? Where was he doing the fundraising?
Less clear on the site of the fundraiser.
But yeah, Obama was there, right?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Fallon hosted, and Barack Obama was there, and Joe Biden was on the stage, and everything went well.
Raised a lot of money.
$28 million, my understanding.
And they did drop a $50 million ad. We'll play a little bit of that today as well, so make sure you
got to raise some coin to play those very expensive $50 million ads.
So raised a bunch of money. That's cool. All right. That's what it's all about.
But here's what happened. And I saw this on the Twitter stream of Piers Morgan. You know, he's sort of in the Rupert Murdoch empire. Dom, and the New York Post apparently posted video of Joe Biden on the stage. And it was post-event. And the crowd going nuts. I don't know what you get for $28 million, but you better get a good show, right? So they're bringing down the house. Barack Obama and Jimmy Fallon and Joe Biden, they're all standing there.
They're basking in the glow and the love of the crowd.
I've done that many times. It's a great feeling. Yeah. And so anyways, at some point, Barack Obama looks over at Joe, grabs him by the sleeve and says, "Come on, man, let's get out of here." Basically, puts his hand on his shoulder and walks him off stage left.
Well, they walk off together. I mean, walks him off implies a leading...
Well, he had his hand on...
on the back as they're walking. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, sure.
Yes. Like I've done to people as I'm talking to them. If you're having a specific conversation, you're walking with someone, you know, perhaps you put an arm on them just to show them a little good feeling. I mean, hell, they worked together for 4 years, well, right, Dom? Eight?
I mean, and if you believe what the righties are telling you... Barack's still pulling the strings.
Well, here's the question. Do you believe the characterization of Joe Biden? Now, Piers Morgan said effectively, how do we allow this national embarrassment to go on?
He froze. They're saying that when the president was staring off into the crowd, that he froze up, a la Mitch McConnell, perhaps. And they needed a guy like Barack Obama who happened to be there to give him the nudge. Hey, come on, time to go.
Now, I might believe that Joe Biden froze up when they started playing the Juneteenth anthem. And he didn't know the words. He just kind of stood there like the white stepdad at a, you know, middle school party, stuck chaperoning, just standing in the back.
You mean like you at the Snoop Dogg concert?
Come on, man. I was dancing. But this thing, according to thehill.com, the White House and former President Barack Obama's team disputed the characterization that President Biden froze up on the stage at a Los Angeles fundraiser. You're right, Dom. It was on the leftist coast. Hope Tom's listening out there, and you. And anyways, had to be led off the stage by the former president Now, the New York Post wrote about the video of Biden under the headline, "Biden appears to freeze up. Has to be led off stage by Obama at Megabucks LA fundraiser." That was the headline at the Rupert Murdoch
Washington Post. He didn't freeze up. He just couldn't carry all the money off the stage.
Ooh, I like how you think. Biden did raise $30 million. The event was hosted by late night host Jimmy Kimmel. At the end of the event, both Obama and Biden were leaving the stage, waving goodbye to the crowd. Obama grabs Biden by the hand. It was by the wrist. And he grabbed him by, like, the forearm, the wrist. It wasn't by the hand. And pats him on the back while they walk away. Now, The Hill has reached out to the Biden-Harris campaign for comment, but Senior Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates denied the New York Post characterization of what happened. He gets a little salty with this, Dom. Fresh off being fact-checked by at least six mainstream news organizations for lying about President Biden with cheap fakes, Rupert Murdoch's sad little super PAC, the New York Post, is back to disrespecting its readers and itself once again by pretending the president taking in the applauding crowd for a few seconds is somehow wrong. Bates' statement said their ethical standards could deal with a little unfreezing.
Ooh.
See what he did there? In a post on the social media platform Twitter, Eric Schultz, Obama's senior advisor, reposted the New York Post article and said, "This did not happen." So, what say you, Mr. Salvia?
I mean,
just driving through for the day happens. Stop by and do a little radio cuz.
Yeah, you know, see what happens. Have a good time. 844-967-2789. What say I? So, I didn't hear about it. We talked about it, looked it up, watched it myself. And I'm like, no, not concerning. Now, when I think about the freezing up, I think of Mitch McConnell. And that dude was like, man, that was strange. It was a long time. It was concerning. I mean, Joe.
Someone had to go unplug the machine and plug it back in to get Mitch McConnell moving.
Restart. What was my impression? And for the record, if I thought he froze up and literally had a Mitch McConnell moment, I'd say that. That wasn't my impression. My impression at that particular time was that he was, you know, gazing off into the crowd. And I looked at, like, looked like 3-4 seconds before Obama, who was kind of by
his
side.
It was not a tremendous lengthy amount of time. It wasn't 30 seconds and someone strolled back and pulled him back.
And so what's the point here? So is the guy old? Yes. Does he have old man moments? Probably. No doubt. Is he as bad cognitively as Donald Trump? I don't think so. But we have a debate coming up next week. Well, maybe we'll find out.
Next Thursday, June 27, you can be there. The price is free. The Barrymore Theater, the Devil's Advocates, and our partner, the Progressive Magazine, hosting a pre-panel discussion. Crudy Dom, Maggie Dawn, others invited. Don't want to overly commit till I know for sure.
Until we knock them down.
And then the presidential debate, and you can come and watch. Doesn't cost anything, but bring some money for the bar. And, you know, we'll accept donations.
Always do.
We got bills.
Cash and loose joints. The Republicans, of course, are trying to, you know, put Joe and make him look worse than he is. I mean, that's what we do. That's how it is. So, and most recently, this thing of him at the G7 wandering off, quote unquote. And I did see some video. There was some people further stage, I guess, stage right, stage left. I don't know, over to his left, that he was, you know, looking at and paying attention. He did not go, you know, wandering off like a lost puppy into the fields. But that's what we're into now. You cut off, you know, one end of the video and. And now it makes a whole different context. So am I surprised that maybe Joe sometimes has moments? Not at all. Am I surprised that the Republicans would make, number one, take advantage of that? No. But would they make things seem like that they really weren't? Absolutely. I mean, these are the same folks that put up the fraudulent elector plan. So, you know, I'm not shocked in any way, shape, or form that the Republicans would engage in behavior that maybe is not as ethical as one would hope. That being said, you know, these guys are going to be on the stage together in a week. We'll find out then if the old man if Donald Trump actually decides to show up, because there's headlines all over and we see him on the Raw Story, or perhaps lefty leaning, talking about Trump's problems and Trump's faraway gaze and things Trump says in his meetings. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we got two old guys, two of the oldest guys ever running for president. You know, that you get what you get. But I would still, and will always, I want to encourage our audience, independent, moderate Republicans, anyone who's not a, like, full-on fascist MAGA, if you care about democracy, man, go vote for Joe. You know, you pull the lever for Joe or light a candle for the death of democracy. Because we know what Donald Trump wants to do. He's already done some of it. They're not even being shy about it. They're not being shy about the propaganda. When you put out a video that is not in the full context, that's propaganda. When you're trying to relay a message that isn't necessarily accurate, to me, that's propaganda. That's what they're about. Now, I'm down for the head-to-head. Let's see that happen. But I'm not surprised, and I'm not concerned. I would vote for Joe Biden at the weekend in Bernie's, dead as a doornail, someone pulling the strings, before I would vote for a live Donald Trump ever, 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 ever. It's not even close.
No, I've heard you make that pledge a few times.
I continue.
He's not dead yet.
I'm getting better.
I did see a photo over the course of the weekend, and of course, completely out of context, but it was Donald Trump walking down like a stage riser, and he was holding an aide's hand. Like someone was comforting him and giving him stability as he was walking.
Oh, right, yeah.
I did that to Flavor Flav at a concert one time.
You gotta watch out, man.
Yeah, boy!
he was slipping off the bouncer's back. He was being carried. But, I mean, so, yeah, and I've seen, I don't know if it was the same one that you're talking about. I believe he was coming off a riser, and he was walking with a general, and he grabbed the general's hand, or one of the officers around him, that kind of helped stabilize him. Hey, if you got the fancy leather shoes with the leather bottoms on it, you're going off a damp ramp, that can be slippery, absolutely. So, not that in and of itself doesn't necessarily say that, well, the guy can't, you know, stay on his 2 feet for more than 90 minutes.
So, June 27th, next Thursday night, the most important political debate of your lifetime.
Again.
Well, I don't know if they all are. This is. I mean, this really makes or breaks Joe Biden, don't you think? I thought the State of the Union address, Joe did well. Joe came out with so much energy. I mean, I've heard Trump in the last week start, oh, I might let him win this one just so they don't have him drop out.
Yeah, that's what everybody who's a narcissist wants to say. Yeah, the guy who's fanatical about quote-unquote winning, too much winning, is gonna sandbag it and throw it strategically. He doesn't have it in him. Even if he wanted to, he cannot make it about Donald Trump, ever.
Do you think Obama threw that debate to Mitt Romney?
Totally.
Just to keep Romney in it?
Yep, just to keep him there.
Just to keep him close, just to give him a little hope and then crush it. Come back with us. We got binders of women around here. 844-967-2789. You can be a part. Join us.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you play along on the phones. Talk or text on 844-967-2789.
When I think Paradise City, I think Des Moines, Iowa.
I think Milwaukee.
Oh, well.
It's not a horrible city. It's Paradise direction. City. Okay, yes, go ahead.
The Des Moines Register, new polling out today. You know, Trump won Iowa by 8% last elective cycle, 2020. And I've told the story many times, Dom, I went without you, but I went and I saw Trump in Des Moines, Iowa, where everything was deep fried on a stick. And Trump had him in the palms of his hands, the little palms. Dom, like 25 to 40,000 people showed up in Des Moines, Iowa. For Trump.
On the same day as an Iowa versus Iowa State college football game.
In Iowa City, an hour down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like there wasn't any counter programming going on.
Right.
And, you know, it's crazy to me, but the Des Moines Register, that's, you know, sort of their gold standard polling in Iowa. The Register today has Trump up 18.
Ooh.
18 on Biden. Trump at 50. Biden's like at 32. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. I had been looking for...
Now, that does include Kennedy at 9 and Oliver at 2.
Who's Oliver?
I don't know, but they're getting 2. Is that the actual name of these nuts?
That's better than Scott Walker did. 0, 0.0. I had been looking for some tells in the polling, Dom, especially post-Trump verdict. And it has been my strong inclination this does not make him stronger as a candidate. You know, a 34-time convicted felon isn't a more appealing candidate to most humans that are reasonable, or let's call them independent or swingy. Because, you know, the Democratic Party, they're voting for Joe.
Right.
And the Republican, the MAGA Party, they're voting for Trump. And then there are these, you know, low propensity voters. There was actually a long form article at the Washington Post today. Talked about the sort of voters that will decide the fate of the nation. Right. Low information, low propensity. It's yeah. like, if Jane shows up, then maybe we get democracy next year. But if Jane's too busy to vote on election day, fascism rules. So that's the scary part.
Well, I mean, maybe fascism will be okay if I can force my way upon you, then I'm totally down with it. But it's really bad if you have to force your beliefs onto me, then I'm against that.
Well, I'd rather be the Packers than the Bears fans at this point. I'm just saying that. Dom, here is some encouraging news, though. 21% of independents less likely to back Trump in new polling. Now, this is not the Des Moines Register poll. These are not Iowa voters, but nationally, independent voters. And there are a lot of those people in the state of Wisconsin. Again, you're not sure if they're going to vote. They don't watch the TV news. They don't listen to talk radio much.
I was going to say, they're probably not even like tuned in right now yet. And I don't know why you wouldn't be, folks. Tell all your independent friends, tune into the Devil's Advocates. We'll set them straight.
But you know what they have probably seen? Guilty. 34 times. Guilty.
It's hard to avoid. It's been all over the news.
Most people are well aware that Trump is a convicted felon at this point. A Politico Ipsos survey found that 21% of independents say they are less likely to vote for Trump after the conviction, adding that the guilty verdict in Trump's hush money case is very important on how they will vote in November. Now, 5% of independents said the verdict is an important factor and that the conviction makes them more likely to support Trump. That's still net negative 16 for the guy, though. If you get 5% more willing to vote for the guy and you got 21% less willing to vote for the guy, that's a net negative 15 for Trump. That's what I'm talking about, Dom. That will affect the outcome of an election.
Yeah, certainly. And that also makes sense. A little more here. Just a small share of Republicans surveyed said they would be less likely to back the former president after his conviction. 41% of Republicans said the conviction has no impact on their support for Trump and that it was not important in how they will vote. 41% of Republicans. Really? It's no biggie. No biggie. That's just, you know, lawfare. Those are ones that are
believing. Give me the felon.
Lawfare. 28% of Republicans said they were more likely to support Trump and that
double down on the felon.
Guilty verdict was not important. Just 7% of Republicans say they are less likely to support Trump and that the conviction was important in determining their vote.
Hold on. Just 7%.
Just 7, yes.
That's a huge number, dude. If 7% of the electorate decides that the 34 convictions in New York, Republican voters, if 7% of the electorate drops off, it's a landslide Biden victory. Now, that seems optimistic.
Well, but are we talking about the same pool? Because 28% of Republicans said they were more likely to vote for Trump and that the guilty verdict was not important to their decision.
The Republican base was already going to vote for Trump. So saying you're more likely to vote for Trump than I was already going to vote for Trump? Yes, you were going to vote for Trump, right? Again, the highly motivated. Now, if some low propensity, not paying attention voter decides suddenly this is the dividing factor, the fact that he's a felon makes him so much more appealing to me now, right. That would then be part of the math, Dom. But yeah. What I'm saying is this makes him much less appealing to a small percentage of Republicans, but a substantial percentage. I mean, you start talking about polling differential, Dom, margins for error.
Yeah, right. 2, 3, 4, maybe.
7's bigger than those numbers.
Yeah. Republicans in the new survey were also more likely to say the hush money trial was not fair. 67% of Republicans said the verdict was not the result of a fair and impartial judicial process, while 27% of independents and 5% of Democrats said the same.
So it's only really Republicans that feel that way. I mean, independents aren't feeling that way. Democrats aren't feeling
that way. Well, I mean, these are the same folks that thought that, you know, that the election in 2020 was stolen, that that was not the result of a fair and impartial election process. So, I'm not surprised. Not surprised. Again, we heard earlier Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin lamenting the mail-in votes because that's where all the criming happens. That's where the steal happens. But at the same time, the state party chair of Wisconsin, you know, encouraging the Republican voters to, you know, vote early. So, you know, make up your own mind. Well, don't look for consistency, man. There is none.
They've got to steal it first. They've got to be more clever in their theft.
Preemptive. Indeed.
Preemptive.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. See?
Preemption.
Uh-huh.
See, that's why you got the master's degree.
That's right, baby.
I barely even got a piece of paper for my undergrad. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Don't say we're not educated. It's just me. 844-967-2789. The smartest audience in radio. And CJ.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the devil's advocates radio show. Forgot it was my turn.
I thought you were just letting that music breathe a little bit.
I was just looking at you doing the walk of life down.
Gazing at me, man. I mean, it happens a lot. You're like Biden over here, man, just gazing at this glory and you're like lose focus of what you're doing.
More looking past you out the window, yeah. But I'll take it. I'll earn that.
You know it's true.
844-967-2789 because you were so damn insistent. You didn't have a lead for me when I
did. This was the lead.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I was busting your chops. This was where I was going to start because it seems like everyone's very interested in this.
When offered, you must say, yes, I have a lead in Crudy. You can't just say, well, look at Crudy. Didn't do his homework.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to jump right in.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Prove,
man.
I did my homework.
And the fine job you have done, Crudy. Well done.
Now it's your turn.
844-967.
Do some of the heavy lifting.
789. I do CrossFit once in a while. I don't know if you can tell. New York Times reporting. President Biden's campaign Monday began its most aggressive effort to brand former President Donald J. Trump a felon with the introduction of a new television advertisement that focuses on the presumptive Republican presidential nominee's criminal conviction. Oh, you don't say. The campaign said the ad would be part of a $50 million investment in battleground states in June.
It's a lot of jing in June.
That's a lot of money in June.
It's growing, like 2 weeks left in June. It's already the 17th, right?
Yeah. A growing number of Democrats have been urging the president to become more aggressive in branding Mr. Trump with his criminal convictions. We have the ad. We'll play the ad. It's a little bit more from the New York Times. It can concludes by framing. Now, of course,
sure, you don't want to throw some yada yaddies in there in your lead.
So on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. Since Mr. Trump's trial concluded last month, the president's Democratic allies have been engaged in a broad discussion about how to use the New York jury's decision in the campaign. While Trump regularly bemoans his conviction in rally speeches and on his social media platform. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day to all you losers and suckers out there. I mean, can a holiday pass without this guy doing an all caps freak out? I mean, why would you, people, for real, man? I mean, this is like, it's like your 12-year-old got the first time on social media and was mad that you got grounded and finally got access and went off on a tangent. Anyway, I digress.
I can tell you the problem.
The parents?
Well, it's the fact that his birthday stacks up too closely with Father's Day. You have that problem. I have that problem. You're lucky to get acknowledged on one of your two
special
days.
For sure, I know.
One of my kids, since we've been on the air, texted me, Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, right, man.
I'm thinking, thank you, but that was yesterday.
It's always Father's Day, man. The love
is
of a child's love of a father is always there.
Is it?
Never ending. Continuous into all eternity.
All evidence to the contrary.
Yes. Especially when you have money in your pocket.
I've got no money in my pocket. That clearly is the problem. No love for broke-ass Crudy.
But we'll talk about that. I mean, but anyway, let's just stick to the point. I want to get off hand here. While Trump is regularly bemoaning his conviction, Biden has, for the most part, avoided the subject, aside from an off-hat remark recently. He has not attacked Trump for his criminal conviction in front of television cameras, although surrogates have. In just 10 days, of course, we're going to meet for that first debate. We're going to have that debate party here in Madison. Make sure you join us. It's on the Facebook page, The Devil's Advocates. Trump approaches the first debate as a convicted felon who continues to prove that he will do anything and harm anyone if it means more power and vengeance for Donald Trump, said Michael Tyler, a Biden campaign spokesman. His entire campaign is an exercise in revenge and retribution. Retribution. Trump campaign spokesman said the Biden campaign's new ad demonstrates, oh, here we go, you knew it was a plot all along, that Biden had a coordinated attack against Trump, a theory for which there is no evidence. Doesn't matter if there's evidence or not. Just say it. Your people will believe it and make them mad. In addition to the New York case, Trump has been indicted in two separate federal cases and one case in Georgia. Here is a quote from Stephen Chung, a Trump campaign spokesman. Joe Biden and his campaign are stupid enough to highlight how they have weaponized the justice system to attack the leading presidential candidate and their opponent in order to interfere in the election. The Biden campaign has spent tens of millions of dollars on advertising, yet their numbers have not changed. Trump has held a narrow lead over Trump in the most recent polling, though interviews with nearly 2,000 voters who took polls in recent months from the New York Times and Siena College found a slight shift to Biden from Trump after the former president's conviction. And we still have more, and you know, the Supreme Court is sitting on this absolute immunity case, hopefully dropping soon. They dropped a stupid bump stock thing. We talk about that as well. So, you know, we'll have perhaps another trial coming up before the election. Maybe. Keep your fingers crossed. Rich, you found the sound. It's everywhere, apparently. If the Biden campaign is spending $50 million, you're going to be hearing it a lot. So if you haven't heard it yet, here's your first taste.
So an unoriginal lead is what you're saying. It's everywhere. I fell upon it. Here's your lead.
In the courtroom, we see Donald Trump for who he is. He's been convicted of 34 felonies, found liable for sexual assault, and he committed financial fraud. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's been working, lowering healthcare costs and making big corporations pay their fair share. This election is between a convicted criminal who's only out for himself and a president who's fighting for your family.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
And there you go, $50 million worth.
I've enjoyed the Robert De Niro for Joe Biden lately. I've heard those quite a bit here in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I have not heard them.
You're not a consumer
De Niro,
of media.
De Niro being De Niro? I mean, like, what? Tell me about it.
Was it trash-talking Trump.
Is it cuts of him doing it or actual, like he's in the studio?
No, like he recorded an ad with sound bites of differing crazy things Trump did.
Yeah, okay,
De Niro saying, we don't want crazy again.
That's some crazy.
I paraphrase, but
but that is some
anti-crazy crazy Trump.
Yeah, I'm down with this.
Crazy?
I'm crazy in the head. I'm down with this because this is a fact. The guy, regardless of what the Republicans say or think, this wasn't, you know, a Joe Biden, DOJ, yada yada thing, man. This was brought by a local DA. They impaneled a grand jury. They found the evidence. They tried him. His attorneys were there the whole time. They picked the jury together. They did this whole thing together. So you can say what you want, and they do it. It doesn't matter because we're detached from reality. We're detached from the facts. We're detached from history, from recent history. I mean, we actually sat through this trial. We went through the jury selection. We know how this thing went. Now, we couldn't have cameras in the room, unfortunately.
I had to take CNN's word for it all day long.
Yeah, all the time. We got someone in there. They're tweeting out what's happening. So, but this is... these are facts. And I think anyone who's concerned about, you know, whether or not you want to be the party of law and order, whether or not you want to stand on your morals or your convictions or whatever it is that you think that is important to you at the time, whatever you were raised with, whatever you instilled within your children, you're just gonna pass that aside because you think this one wasn't fair? Oh, statute of limitations, the fella did it. Oh, okay. I mean, but it still happened. He still won it. He had his opportunity. He lost. He can appeal. We'll see what happens. July 11th is sentencing. And maybe it's just because this is the, you know, it's the bookkeeping thing, really not a big deal. Maybe he just passed it off as that. And not recognizing the impact it has on the election in 16. I mean, he could have very well won because of these actions. But that aside, I mean, if Chuck can get in, if we start seeing a trial on January 6th, and we start seeing some evidence presented, you know, that could be an entirely, it will be an entire sea shift.
The federal insurrection trail of Donald Trump.
Man.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I get that. So, but this is already having a minimal impact, right? At least on the polling, and logic would tell you that. But when all of a sudden you start seeing some folks coming in and talking about what Donald Trump did and did not do on January 6th, and it's not just me saying he sat on his ass for 3 hours, 3 hours. I mean, we do a three-hour television show.
A three-hour cruise.
We do a three-hour show, Crudy. That'd be us here starting at our show and then watching our mob attack the Capitol and eating my burgers and dancing in the tents. For 3 hours, he didn't do anything but enjoy what he wrought upon this Capitol. And so when that starts getting like lined up and knocked down in a court of law with evidence and testimony and so on and so forth, that will have a huge impact.
Wishful thinking. Until it's on the trial calendar, wishful thinking. Cannot schedule the trial until the U.S. Supreme Court gets around and they're taking their own sweet time.
Yes, they are.
And what if, and this is what I strongly suspect, what if the U.S. Supreme Court, because they got the votes, they can roll out whatever crap they want to. There will not be absolute immunity for the former president, but there will be official immunity for certain official acts. And then they'll send it back down to the district court, and those facts will have to be litigated.
Which acts were official, which acts were not.
Yes, and the ironic part is, as Amy Coney Barrett, and I was a little surprised by her line of questioning of Trump's lawyer, Sauer, S-A-U-E-R, John.
Saruman.
When she went through the allegations and asked, are these official acts or are these private acts? Each and every one of the charges against Trump would fall under the category of private acts. These are not official acts. So the greatest benefit, if let's just say the Alitos and the Clarence Thomases want to throw one in this direction, but they can't go all the way and give him absolute immunity because then Biden might off his ass next Thursday night. Because the next guy's got the immunity and he's the current president. You don't even want that, Trump. Be careful what you wish for. But I would say their greatest sand in the cogs, slowing down the process, putting it off until after the elective cycle, would be to extend immunity to official acts, go litigate it at the district court level.
Okay, but fair enough. But what about the acts that were already admitted to be personal acts?
You'd have to litigate.
They've already acknowledged it in the court of law. They've said
Trump's
it. Yes.
Contradicted himself at trial.
Well, but
and
you just said
appeal.
It. Yes, that's personal. Yes, that's personal. Yes, that's personal. Now you're going to stand up and say, no, it's not. They've already acknowledged. Yes. Once you do that, once you've acknowledged it, you can't say, yes, my client
different
did
venue.
The murder.
Different venue.
Different
they're,
venue.
They're not going
well,
to.
Well, they're going
to
kick
they're
it.
Still they're still going
on,
to
clear,
have to rehash
on your
each
logic.
And every
you
case.
Think, you think they're going to take what they said, that these are actions, as you mentioned. Barrett lined them up. Are these official or are these personal? And his attorney, his representative in the Supreme Court, identified which was which. And you think that they're going to kick it down to the lower court and they're going to have to answer those very same questions
yes.
again?
Yes.
Absolutely not. Why would you do it? It's already been asked and answered, Your Honor.
Yeah, you'd like to think that. I do like to think that.
I mean,
believe me, when I heard Coney Barrett put him on the record on these different things, that sounds great. But the question before the Supreme Court is a question of immunity. And once they rule, then it will be a different court's decision to decide whether or not each and every alleged act by Trump falls under the official category
category. But you're assuming the ruling, let's say the ruling comes down that, yes, we need to revisit the official. You think we don't need to revisit the personal acts or they would be revisited? I think they could very well accept the fact, okay, these are the officials. These are the official acts. These are the personal acts. They've already acknowledged them in court. So now you can go back on the official acts. We'll evaluate that, whether or not those are official, what you've admitted to as personal acts. Those are personal acts.
Sure. They still have to litigate all those steps.
Well, that's what you do in the court, man. They've already admitted those are personal acts.
They are not litigating. Understand, if the U.S. Supreme Court says official immunity extended to presidents for official acts, now... District Court Chutkin, go decide which of these acts were the president, the former president, acting in a personal capacity, and which of these acts were him acting in official capacity. And there'll be a briefing schedule, and there'll be hearings, right? And what this will do is delay the process. This will prevent there being an actual trial on the underlying facts, the insurrection, the January 6th. That's not going to happen between now and the election.
I disagree with you. I think it absolutely could very well happen, and it certainly should happen, so that people have an idea of what they're voting for.
You're only right after we get to trial. Yeah. Actually, you're not for trial. We'd be four trials in if you... Oh, your wishful thinking
came
true.
Come on, man. Don't knock it. You know I've been right. Guilty by Friday. That happened. Bucks and six. Never forget it. I called it right here. 844-967-2789.
I thought it was Jabari Parker that said bucks and six. You just jumped on the bandwagon some 10 years later. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Don't be a bandwagger jumper. Get on early. 844-967-2789.
Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the political party on the phones. Do so at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, former President Trump went to your hometown. You claim Detroit often. You got the D tattooed on your arm. Went to D-Town. Went to a black church. Yeah. And had mostly a white attendee rally, but he was there to court black voters, Tom. And a few of the blacks for Trump, you know, the travelees, I bet there'll be a few in Racine tomorrow
because they always are. It's like following the dead.
They got the positions on stage, but I did see a panorama of the audience, and it looked like the Young Adolphs Foundation. I mean, Young Americans Foundation. All lily white. The entire crowd was white, Tom. You know, excepting a few. Here's how the Detroit News reported it. Former President Donald Trump, I prefer convicted felon Donald Trump, warned of increases in illegal immigration, weakened global policy, and a struggling economy under another Biden term as he courted both black voters at a Detroit church and conservative stalwarts at a convention in Huntington Place. Gave the same speech to both, I suspect. The former president dinged the leader of United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, as doing an absolutely terrible job and warned of environmentally friendly emission limits implemented under Biden. We can't let these people destroy our country like this. They're going crazy. Now, Trump made the comment Saturday during a conservative political organization's convention at Huntington Place, where 4 years ago, Republicans protested and chanted, "Stop the count," as Detroiters' absentee ballots were still being tallied. His address at the Turning Point Action Convention came after he held a roundtable discussion with black Detroit voters at 180 Church on Stansbury Avenue in the city's west side. You ever been there, Dom? The 180 Church, Stansbury?
Went last night.
Trump's attacks on electric vehicles and Fain were featured in several of his Michigan campaign speeches. The UAW endorsed Biden earlier this year.
Oh, there you go.
But support from blue-collar union workers in Macomb County were considered key to Trump's 2016 victory in Michigan. And Fain scored victories for his union last year in a round of high-stakes negotiation with the Ford Motor Company, General Motors, and Stellus Nevada. The UAW's Michigan branch has about 134,000 members. That's still a powerful union, Dom. But a court-appointed watchdog tasked with curbing corruption within the UAW revealed in court filings last week that Fain is under investigation. It's not going to be his endorsement. Well, if he endorses Trump, though, I mean, if he gets convicted of these serious allegations, Tom?
What are the allegations?
Corruption.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Biden's Environmental Protection Agency in March finalized rules that would require automakers to determine their mix of gasoline-powered and electric vehicles to comply with greenhouse gas tailpipe emissions limited for light-duty vehicle fleets for model years 27 to 32 and beyond. That's a lot of crap. So Trump said, we're going to bring back your auto industry at a level greater than it was 30 years ago. I mean, when you got $80,000 pickup trucks, dude, how many of them are people supposed to buy?
George W. Bush speechwriter David Frum said this, noting that the black church in Milwaukee, the photos raised eyebrows. I'm sorry, Detroit, raised eyebrows because there are a lot of white people in there. Here's what Republican Frum had to say. He created a completely fake media event. He rented a church. He bussed in people who were wearing not church clothes, but rally clothes. They were obviously not locals. You don't have to do that if you have support. He told a series of preposterous lies. Detroit is having a magnificent turnaround. First population growth in half a century. Lowest homicides in half a century. Detroit is not a magnet for attracting new artists. It is, Crudy. I've been there. It's beautiful. They're working hard on it.
Come on, man. I went to Detroit with you not too many months ago.
Detroit is a great American turnaround story. So when you have to tell so many lies, when you have to bus in people, it tells me you probably don't have a lot of indigenous support in that town. And I also saw a headline that when the pastor or the priest or whoever the guy in charge of the church was asking people to come for the Trump rally, they were laughing in his face. 844-967-2789. Let's get some
Trump
callers.
Also said that the black people should resent the immigrants because they're taking your jobs.
Oh, my goodness. Wisco Paul, you are up. Happy Monday, man. What do you got
for
us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, happy Monday to you guys, Devils. Hey, I'm really looking forward to next Thursday at the Barrymore.
Yeah, man.
Because
it's going to be a hoot and a holler.
Well, I really think that'll go a long way in determining who wins the election, excuse me, because I think Biden will beat Trump in a debate. I don't see any reason why he won't, because Trump has lost a lot of what he had. Hey, last week, I think you went on record. I hate to put you in the corner there, Dom, but that if Trump is reelected, he will burn it down. And if you said that, right?
I don't know if I made any guarantees, Paul, but that's my concern.
Define
certainly.
What would be burned down precisely, yeah. Mr. Salvia.
Think Rome burning, but go ahead, Paul. What you got?
Okay, and the other thing is, I believe after Roe, the Supreme Court can make any rulings they want to. Mm. They proved it with that, and I also think they are corrupt. So your take on them on that statement, and thanks, boys, for the great show.
Yeah, let's go. Thank
you. I'm
just
going to concur about the corruptness of the 6-3 conservative leaning Supreme Court.
I mean, bump stocks, man? Really? I mean, we can't have machine guns, you know, but you can have a bump stock. It makes it a machine gun. That's totally fine. Totally cool. No problem.
That was the 6-3, was it not? All the conservatives down for that.
I mean, just in time for the RNC.
And we've got the ruling on Trump, whether or not he's immune from all prosecution. Or just officially immune.
It's coming soon.
And then you got to go litigate it.
Ah, we'll see about that.
Come back with us. We'll litigate more in the 5 o'clock happy hour. Join us. And we'd encourage you to follow us on these social medias, but might have to give you a consumer warning first.
Oh.